In life, we do a lot of things because we're asked, because maybe it's our job or our responsibility, because someone said so. And there are a number of things we don't do because I don't want to, or maybe because we're not interested, or maybe we have no motivation to. But then how about because how could I not? Something within compels and drives the because. There's a reason behind it. How could I not? In the parable that Jesus gave in the gospel lesson for today, three men are given money and then left to watch or manage it. And the point of the story is found not just in what they do with it, but why they do what they do with it. So this parable or story before us this morning is kind of an interesting story that Jesus tells. And it's not intended to stand alone, but rather in the context to be a part of the other parables and the other stories that are told around it. In Matthew chapter 24 and 25, there's a collection of stories that Jesus told just prior to his arrest and crucifixion. He had limited time, and he needed to get his final words out, so he was trying to make some very special and significant points. And all of these stories have kind of this overarching theme. It's to be ready, to be prepared, be productive. The story today is about productiveness, or to invest while waiting. And if we're not watchful, faithful, or ready, we're going to be caught off guard. So if we do not do something with what we have been given or entrusted with, we're going to be held accountable. The story's really just straightforward. So there's this person, this master, he leaves very graciously leaves a very large sum of money to three people to tend or watch while he's on a long trip. Two guys immediately understand their individual responsibility, and they understand the graciousness of the person who gave it to them, and so they immediately put the money to use, and they increase the amount. The third guy is so concerned with his presumed ideas about what the master is like and in his thinking and what's expected, all he can do is just, out of fear, he just buries it and forgets it. Well, it's a story about what do we do while the master is away. Now, it's interesting the way Jesus tells the story because he tries to make a big point out of the fact that he's gone to a faraway country, so he's going to be gone for a while. More than ample time to take what's been given graciously, and it's time to test the faithfulness of the servants. And in the midst of this, Jesus is telling these people he's telling these stories to, he says, I'm not going to be here much longer. I'm leaving. He's going to suffer, he's going to die, and rise again. But that doesn't mean that all of his work is going to now come to completion here. And all what he was doing is just going to stop in the world. Rather, he's going to provide his disciples with everything they need in order to continue on the work. The things that Jesus taught them, the things that they receive from him, is to continue. God's looking for faithfulness. And so he gives everyone just what they need to do what they feel called to do. It says he gives each according to his ability. So in every case, he provides the correct combination of whether it's abilities or talents, responsibilities, opportunities, all so that whoever the person may be, in whatever context they're in, and whatever stage of life they're in, they have just what they need to do things to feel worthwhile and have something meaningful for the kingdom that they can serve God with. We all have different gifts and abilities. And the idea here is that the Lord is pleased with small results and great results. What matters, again, is faithfulness. It says, he, the master, comes back. And the first two are called to account for what they did. And what mattered was not the amount. What matters is what happened while he was gone. It says, interestingly, they both received the same reward. Because all service is inherently valuable. Each person can be productive in his or her own unique way. It didn't matter that that one person who had, you know, 10 times this, that that person was blessed more than the person with 5. It doesn't matter. They both got the same thing because they had been faithful. Faithful. That was all he asked of them. And so they were commended for their faithfulness rather than their accomplishments. And God calls us to serve with our individual talents. Not because he says, well, if you don't do it, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he wrings his hands and gets all worried and freaked out and stressed out because, well, if you don't do it, what's going to happen? No, he does that for what we get out of it. What it does to our faith as we're stretched, as we take opportunities, and then also the people, too, that are able to receive grace and benefit from the things that we're able to share and do. Because whenever we serve, work, or share, God's the one doing it through us. Over my 60 years of life, I've come to realize what I'm really good at or what I can do and what I can't do. Years ago, I had to put aside the fact that I will never be a children's folk singer, all right? Always thought that would be cool to do. Can't do it. But over the years, I have learned things that it's just in my zone. My spiritual gift is service. I just love doing things behind the scenes and serving. And even more so if I can take people with me and give them opportunities to serve and just watch what God does in their lives. I like to bake. I like to make things and share it with other people, encourage people that way and give opportunities. But I look at what God has allowed me to do and I try not to get jealous or envious of what other people are able to do. I wish I really could. And be faithful with what God has given me the ability to do. And you look back and say, God has worked. And I thank him for it. Jesus gets to that third guy. And his failure was not because he lost the money, but simply because he did nothing. He did nothing. It says that he was, in a sense, almost useless. And the person with the one talent was singled out as the unfaithful one. See, it's an interesting mindset the way Jesus told the story because of what he's trying to, you know, unpack here. Because maybe the person with the one small gift would say, well, you know, it's just this one little thing that I can do. And, you know, God can't expect that much from me because this is all I can come up with. So that little thing is not going to make any difference. And that's the attitude that Jesus is going against. Because each follower of Christ has God-given gifts and opportunities to be in use of service to the Lord, regardless of what their particular stage in life may be. It's not the same for everyone. You see, here's the problem. Wrong thoughts about God can cause us to be lazy and have wrong attitudes about God. Faithfulness, in a sense, it seems to be here, is contingent on an accurate view of God. See, this guy's attitude caused him to kind of pervert the image of his master, which provided him with an excuse for his personal irresponsibility. In the Old Testament lesson, there's an interesting statement made in verse 12 there in Zephaniah chapter 1. And it says, I will punish those who are complacent, who are like wine left on its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad. They have something, but they just forget it, neglect it, till it becomes worthless. And it uses this idea of here as the example, the wine left on its dregs. I was thinking about that, you know, when COVID first hit and we stopped meeting together regularly and we weren't having regular communion, you know, there sits in the cupboard in there the open but not fully used bottle of Manischewitz that's not being used for communion. So I think it's wine. 5 or 6 months later, I go to grab the bottle of Manischewitz in there, thinking, hey, all right, we're going to do communion again. I need to share it with some people. I open it up, and it doesn't smell that good, so I take a swig of it, not a lot, but I take to see, is this worthy to be used? And I literally spit it out. It had turned to vinegar. And that's exactly what the image that Zephaniah is using here. It's like, here's this thing, it just left on its dregs. And what was once something good that was usable is just now completely worthless and useless. Good for nothing. And that's what it's like when somebody has been given something and completely is complacent and does nothing with what they've been blessed with. An unused talent doesn't last for a really long time. It's like an unused muscle. It just gradually wastes away. So the parable teaches that truthful understanding of God will bring about a kind of a productive investment of our lives. Not read, but the psalm for the day is Psalm 90. And he here captures that theme. In Psalm 90, it says, just a few of the verses, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Correct understanding of who God is, that you can trust him with your life. And then he says, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Time goes quickly. It's here one moment and gone the next. And he says, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. So he says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. God, you bless us with life. You've given us time. But time is so fleeting. It comes and all of a sudden it's gone. So how do we number our days? How do we use these days with what God has blessed us with to be used faithfully for him? The spirit of what Jesus is trying to communicate here. He says, you're my disciples and I'm leaving. Do you understand what that actually means? Because when I come back, it's going to be the end. I will come in judgment. See, the Old Testament lesson, the New Testament lesson for today is the reality of what's to come. With the idea, are you ready? Are you ready? And then in this particular story, in the parable that Jesus said, he's kind of saying, who can benefit right now in your life? Who can benefit from the abilities or the gifts or the things that you have that you can share and offer? Who can benefit? And how can you commit or invest what you have been gifted with? Again, it changes. The things that you can do right now are maybe different than what you were able to do 10 years ago. And maybe 5 years from now, it'll be different. But whatever we have to work with at any given time, what can we put into play? Because use for him and his kingdom, knowing what the future holds, leads to this statement. Because how could I not use and share and live out what you've given me? How could I not? When we understand the graciousness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, and what he's given and shared with us, how could we not invest it and use it and share it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of this day, for the gift of this time that we could just come together and worship. And Lord, I just pray that you would use us. You know where we're at right now in our life. But God, help us just to put into play those things that we are able to do, those things we are able to share, knowing that one day you will return. Help us just to be faithful and to be able to allow your light and life to shine through those abilities, those gifts, those opportunities that come our way each day. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the work that you do and continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen.